Well, good morning. If we haven't met yet, my name is Kathleen, and I have been on staff here at Lakeside for 21 years. You know, besides pastors, I just wonder if anybody ever thinks, hey, someday I'm going to work at a church. Certainly wasn't on my bucket list, but here I am. Today we are in a sermon series called This Is Us. It messages about Lakeside and the rich variety of people who make up our community. And for the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at our statement on belief and practice. And today I have the pleasure of wrapping things up. This isn't the end, though. This is an ongoing series. It pops up from time to time. And you will hear stories, This Is Us stories, from other Lakesiders in the future. And if you want to go back and hear some of the stories that have come before mine, there is a This Is Us playlist on our YouTube channel. So as I've watched this series unfold over the last few years, as members of our staff team and members in our Lakeside community have shared their stories, I got the sense that I was supposed to share mine. And if you know me, being on stage is not my favorite thing. I actually have been part of our host team for a number of years, and anytime I get the chance to schedule someone other than myself, I do it. But here I am, and it should have been fairly straightforward. But as I started preparing and making notes and deciding how I was going to format this story, a story that I have told multiple times in a variety of ways here at Lakeside, by the way, I got a little nudge, a little push that said, I've got something different in mind. I want you to be more vulnerable than that. Have you ever had that happen? You thought something was going to go one way and it ends up going an entirely different direction, almost to the point where you're screaming, not fair, not fair. This isn't what I signed up for. This is not how this was supposed to go. And that's how I felt. I had this uncomfortable feeling that I had made a huge mistake. But once I started exploring what this looked like, I knew that this story that I have told a dozen times, it was not the story that I was going to tell today. At least not in the way that I've always told it. And at first I was unsure. If not this story, if not my story, then what story? This series is called This Is Us. This message is Kathleen's story. And so if I, Kathleen, am not standing on this stage telling Kathleen's story, what story am I telling? My story, the one I know, the one I've told many times here at Lakeside, starts with a dysfunctional family upbringing, some childhood trauma, and ends with me landing at Lakeside 23 years ago, finding a relationship with God, and stepping into a career I wouldn't have chosen for myself, and one I couldn't have predicted even in a million years. And then I would wrap that story up in a neat little package of community, belonging, and hope. I met some people, made some friends, went all in with God, the end. That's the story I think of when I think of my story. But there are also many layers to that story. And somewhere in the middle of that story, in the middle of those layers, is the story I'm going to share with you today. And ultimately, to get to this place, there has been a roller coaster of emotion. There have been a lot of tears. And more than once, probably hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times, when I would think about doing this, I would feel this overwhelming panic rise up in my chest, and I would think, I don't think I can do this. I didn't feel prepared. I didn't feel adequate. I didn't feel special enough. And I certainly didn't know what part of my story I would be sharing, even as I was preparing this message. I had pages and pages and pages of notes, things I would jot down whenever I felt like God was sharing something that I needed to pay attention to. But it was only a few weeks ago that this story really started to take shape. And as I'm sharing today, I want you to be thinking about your own story, because we all have one. Where is God nudging you right now? Where might God be taking you? What's the story you're not ready to write? And where are you ready, or not ready, to get a little uncomfortable? Because being uncomfortable is what this story is all about. And you may have heard, nothing grows in a comfort zone. In fact, I think it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson who actually said, a comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. You don't grow when you're comfortable. Correction. You don't grow when you're comfortable most of the time. You don't grow when you're in your jammies, a bag of candy on your lap, playing a game on your phone, and watching reality television. All things I love to do. Don't get me wrong, that's fun, and it's fine from time to time, but it's not a life, not a good life anyway, not a rich, flourishing life, and that's what I want so desperately, flourishing. And yet comfort is my default. It's the place I land more often than not. Every single day, I have to remind myself that comfort is not the goal. Getting uncomfortable can be good. I am very uncomfortable right now. So when I think of my story in my life, I can break it down into four phases. And I'm going to take you through all of them quickly, but it's the third and the fourth phase that I'm going to camp out at for the rest of our time today, because they're the most current, the most raw. So let me give you a quick breakdown of these four phases. Phase one, I'm calling a blurry childhood and a bit of God. This is a childhood I can't really remember. There's some hazy memories and a touch of God in the background. And then phase two, no kids, no God. Life was full, I had some fun, but I was spiritually empty. I wasn't thinking about God. Phase three, stormy with a chance of God. This is raising kids. I was running on fumes. There were moments of deep connection, but there were also moments of total distance. It was messy and unpredictable, but it was also when God showed up. And phase four, today, a little less me, a little more God. There's still some clouds, but there's a lot more clarity, more peace, a deeper understanding of who God is and isn't, and a relationship that's starting to grow. And that might seem a lot, and you may be thinking, Kathleen, you're old and you only have 20 minutes, or maybe 10 by this point, but I promise these will go quickly. So let's go into phase one. This is where you're going to learn a little bit about me and what makes me tick. I grew up in the church in what my parents would have called a Christian home. They grew up in the church, so my younger sister and I also grew up in the church. And let me preface this by saying, my parents are here today, and I love them, and they love each other, despite the fact that they are divorced. They share a beautiful friendship today. But it hasn't always been that way. They battled some incredibly difficult roads, walked some very painful roads, battled some very difficult things. And I know they were doing the best they could with what was passed down to them. We're all just doing our best, aren't we? I can't begin to tell you the number of ways that I've messed up as a parent, the damage I've probably done to my kids. They're also here today. And I think they have some pretty deep wounds, not only from me, but also from the church and how God was presented to them. There's a fluff there. And how I presented God to them as I knew God to be. But that's a phase three story. So as my parents were struggling, home was not a place I wanted to be. It was filled with tension, crazy fights, and more often than not, just dead silence. Literal months where my parents refused to speak to one another. And I know there were good times. There were probably a lot of good times. But for me, I don't have this core part of my brain with happy childhood memories. There was just a lot of pain and a lot of loneliness. I remember being unhappy. And while we went to church when I was a kid, I don't remember much about it. I do remember sitting down at our kitchen table for family devotions. But that was when my parents were usually looking to fix things. God always felt like the place we turned when there was nowhere else to go. Not the center of our lives, but the fix it when things went wrong. And by the time I was a teenager, church was little more than a social event. Youth group holds a lot of great memories for me, not necessarily because it taught me about Jesus, but because I had a lot of good friends, friends I still have to this day. And socially, things were good for me as a teenager. I was involved in a lot of clubs and a lot of teams. I had a great group of friends at school who were different friends from my church friends because as a country kid, church and school were in different cities. But ultimately, I was still trying to figure out all those things that teens have to figure out. Who was I? What did I believe? Where did I want to go in life? And unfortunately, I let a lot of people, usually boys, dictate those decisions for me. I let a lot of other people write my story and tell me who I was. By the time I was 16, though, my parents no longer went to church, and neither did I. So God was there during that time, that part of my life, but we weren't really on a first-name basis. And then we go into phase two. No kids. Oh God. From the ages of about 16 to 25, I was trying to figure out who I was. What did I want to do with my life? Where was I headed? It was what I would call the fun phase. I had a lot of fun, but I also made a lot of really bad decisions. Really bad decisions. I got into cars with people I shouldn't have gotten into cars with. I got into bed with people I shouldn't have gotten into bed with. I got into situations I should never have been in, often with no memory of what happened in those situations. And I was hurt, emotionally, physically, and sexually, at the hands of others' bad decisions. So here in phase two, God was nowhere to be seen. At least not from my perspective. I wasn't thinking about him, and I was pretty sure he wasn't thinking about me. But in hindsight, the thing that I have come to learn is that God is always there, even when we push him away. And there are always people on the perimeter praying. I could probably count on one hand the number of times I thought about God during this phase of my life. But I know now that there were people praying for me and my family. Just like here at Lakeside, we have prayer ministers and prayer partners, and they pray diligently for the people in our Lakeside community and the people outside these walls. And even if they don't know your name yet, I can promise you that you are being prayed for right now. So it was also during this phase that I met and married the man who is now my husband. He was already done school, starting a career. He'd purchased a house. I was in my third year of university, studying and partying. And then we got married a few years later. And there were some very painful years in our marriage in the next phase. Because if you don't already know this, raising children can cause a little bit of conflict. It was only recently that I was able to admit that I was probably not in a place to get married when we did. I was young, unsure of what I wanted, and still figuring out what my life looked like. But all my friends were doing it, and it just felt like the next logical step. I don't recommend that. Don't recommend getting married because all your friends are getting married. It's not really a great way to start things off. I am happy to say, though, that we are in a better place now, and we have been married for 28 years. Thank you. I have no regrets, but I think I could have saved us both a lot of pain if I'd been honest with myself and if I'd been willing to have some uncomfortable conversations. At that point, though, I still had a lot of growing up to do. But we got married, and then we had kids, which brings me to phase three. This was probably the hardest phase of my life. I describe it as full-on survival mode. If you're in the throes of raising littles right now, you might be feeling like this too. I was just doing my best to make it from one day to the next. A lot of days just felt like that. I was way out of my comfort zone. Some people are born to be parents. They have that maternal or paternal instinct. They know how to raise a baby, love a baby, hold a baby, soothe a baby. They know all of it. And I knew none of it. Absolutely none of it. When we brought our oldest home from the hospital, I remember putting his car seat down at the front door and looking at my husband and going, what do we do? Do we wake it up? Play with it? I don't know. I knew nothing. But as a mom, someone who still had a lot of growing up to do herself, all I had to give was love. And I was overwhelmed by how much I did love those kids of mine. I had no idea that kind of love existed or was possible. And I like to think that's how God feels about each one of us, about me. That his love for me is overwhelming, even when he's watching me mess up over and over again. And sometimes when I shut him out of my life. So I loved my kids, but I wasn't also prepared for anything that phase of life threw at me. Every day was something new that I was learning to figure out. And those babies, they grew into toddlers and little kids and eventually teenagers. And that stage nearly broke me. And I made a lot of mistakes. But I also encountered God in a way I hadn't before. I was working as a reporter for the Guelph Mercury at the time, and there was a story about Lakeside on the front page of the paper, and I started to feel this nudge. And when I walked through the doors finally on a Sunday morning, my oldest at the time was 2, and my youngest was about 6 months old. And for context, they're 25 and 23 today. And that first day, I cried through the entire service. For the first time in my life, I felt like I was in a place I was meant to be. I felt like I was home, like I belonged. Like this was the place that God had prepared for me to meet him. 2 years later, I walked away from a great career and started working at Lakeside part-time. I took a massive pay cut, but the flexible hours made it possible for me to spend more time with my kids. I could do field trips and volunteer in their classes and pick them up from school. And I really felt like in this hardest phase of my life that God was showing up for me. Not to rescue me from the hard things, not to save the day, not to make things easier, but to be with me in them. Because one of the misconceptions I had back then was that following Jesus would be easy. Jesus equals the good life, right? The good life for me, good life for my kids, good life for my family, my friends, even to some extent, the good life for my church. Life free of pain, a comfortable life. I thought following Jesus would be comfortable, but I now know that comfortable isn't God's plan. Comfortable all the time isn't God's plan. Comfort isn't the goal. Transformation is. And transformation often happens in the uncomfortable places. In fact, as I was winding up the first draft of this message, I typed an email to Robin and said, I know I'm letting you down, but I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. The story was almost completely written, and I was uncomfortable. I wanted so badly for this message to be hopeful, to be a gift that I could present to all of you this morning. The proverbial, I was this, and then God changed me. That's the story we all long for, isn't it? I was one way, now I'm another. Bam, presto, change-o. But I'm not a finished product, and I'm not a finished product. I'm not the finished product I hoped I would be today. This story isn't the finished product I hoped it would be. And if I'm being completely honest, there's something so desirable, so idolatrous maybe, about being perfect. And I really struggled standing up here and telling a story and presenting myself not perfectly. Not having the perfect story to tell, the perfect ending, or even the perfect body to stand up here in. And I know perfection means different things to different people. When you think of being perfect, what does that look like? Maybe it's the perfect wardrobe, perfect hair, a filtered, smooth face with no wrinkles, age spots, acne, rosacea. Or maybe it would be a happy marriage, a peaceful marriage, a marriage at all. Perfectly mannered children, success in your career, grades at the top of your class, a ton of friends. Those are some of the things that I've chased after over the years. But in all my iterations of perfection, rarely did they have anything to do with God. I didn't even mention God as one of those perfect examples. All the uncomfortable I've been feeling up until today was hesitation about standing here sharing a self and a story that wasn't perfect. Thank goodness for this water. But I also felt like God has been telling me that there isn't supposed to be a tidy, neat package that I can tie with a bow. That this place, Lakeside, this beautifully imperfect community of misfit toys and mixed nuts, this is the place, this is the place that I can present an imperfect, questioning, come as you are, Robin said recently in a video, if you saw it on social media, you don't have to shrink or hide who you are to be here at Lakeside. And that's what I love so much about this community that God is building. It's why, despite being uncomfortable, I'm okay to stand up here today and give you a story that is less fairy tale ending and more middle of the book. And maybe that's the real gift. To say out loud that no matter who you are, where you come from, or what your story looks like, that God is there. He's working in the background even when we can't see it. And no matter how long it takes, no matter how messy it gets, there's not a single point in your story or mine where God gives up. I walked away from church in a half-hearted faith when I was 16. But for the past 23 years, I've tried to keep showing up. Never perfectly. Honestly, most days it just feels like I'm stumbling through, making the same mistakes over and over and over and over. My family has probably been collateral damage along the way. I haven't always been the wife or the mom that my family needed me to be. And the road has been rocky, full of old beliefs I've had to unlearn, questions I've had to ask, even times that I have wrestled and argued with God. And yet somehow, even in all of that, I have felt so completely held. Which brings me to phase four, today. And here I am, still working at Lakeside, still asking questions, still wrestling with God, still learning, still unlearning, still becoming, still figuring it out, still showing up some days better than others. I said earlier that I wanted my story to have a neat bow at the end, a moment that I could say, I was one way, and now I'm completely changed. But now I think the more powerful story is the one that says, I'm still a work in progress. I'm still on the journey. And God hasn't given up on me yet. So I suppose that's what I want you to know today. That you don't have to be finished to be faithful. You don't have to have it all figured out for God to work. We don't grow when we're comfortable. We grow in the wrestling. We grow in the showing up. We grow in the tension between who we were and who we're becoming. And this messy middle, this is where God meets us. So maybe today your next step isn't figuring it all out either. Maybe it's just not walking away. Maybe it's showing up, questions, mess, doubts and all, and letting God hold you in the middle of your story. So normally we close with a time of reflection, but I'm going to invite Michael, Nathan, and Rose. And Rose is going to share a powerful song. And as she sings, I invite you to just soak in the words and let them be your prayer today. And then following that, Robin will come up with a benediction. Thank you.
When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light the night has stolen, when I'm slamming all the doors you've opened, hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you, when I am sure I have reached the end. Hold on to me when I forget I need you. When I let go, hold me again. When I don't feel like I'm worth defending, when I'm tired of all my pretending, hold on to me. And when I start to break in desperation, underneath the weight of expectation, hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you, when I am sure I have reached the end. Hold on to me when I forget I need. When I let go, hold me again. I could rest here in your arms forever, 'cause I know nobody loves me better. Hold on to me. Hold on to me.
Kathleen, what a gift. What a gift. Thank you for sharing your story so vulnerably, so authentically. We all have a story, as she said. And I hope today you'll reflect on your story. Maybe this week you'll reflect on your story and look back and see where God has been at work that has brought you to where you are today. And that the story isn't over, that there's more to come. And that we're a place here, whether you're online or in the room, where it's okay to not be okay. And so thank you again for that gift of allowing us to be authentic. Our prayer team's at the front, and they're happy to pray with you. If there's a burden you're carrying, if there's something you're processing, they would love to pray with you about that. Kathleen will be in the atrium. I'll be in the atrium. And I'd just love to close us with a benediction. This is the benediction for our church for this series. Let's go now as the church. Not a building, but a people. Not a program, but a spirit-filled movement. May you carry the presence of Jesus into broken places and across dividing lines. May your table grow longer and your welcome grow wider and your heart grow softer towards those who are different from you. May the Spirit give you power, not to control, but to serve. Not for comfort, but for courage. Let us go, friends, in the name of Jesus, with the message of Jesus, living the way of Jesus for the sake of the world. Go in grace, go in love. Let's go and be the church. Go in peace.